anyway, so it was all very exciting in those days, was it?
Oh, it was, yeah. Great, yeah. 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 You used to get great crowds at it. You used to put on different clubs.
And Lily, were you performing yourself?
No, then? I was not performing, no way. I used to go to see them, all right. No way.
So, but going back to your work in Arnie's again, so you were making chocolates. And,
yeah.
So did that become repetitive and boring?
No, we used to like doing it now, to be honest with you. Used to like doing it.
What did you like about it?
Well, the people were nice that you worked with.
You could write a book about them.
Yeah.
Your characters.
The characters.
Really?
They're all gone now. They're not around at all. There's some of them now there.
Oh, yeah, in this photograph. Can you name them out for me there?
Oh, God. Oh, they're going to be glasses.
I might name them better for you.
I might. Let's go back a long time. That's Mr. Bean there himself.
The small man.
Yeah. That's me there.
You're the fur girl on the left, yeah.
That's Peta Murphy. He was our boss.
Yeah.
I don't know who them three is. Two there and one behind
They were something to do with the managerial end of it. They were being shown around the factory by Mr. Bean. Yeah. That's Bob Taggart there in the background. He was a fitter. You don't know who that girl is.
Me?
No, you're there.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But the man that's right beside you here on the left...
That's Peta Murphy now.
Yeah, he was in the drama group with us. He worked in Orny's.
He was our boss in the moulding room where I worked. Mm-hmm. He was the boss.
And what kind of a man, what kind of a boss was he?
He was okay. I found him all right.
He wasn't too much of a boss, was he?
No.
Oh, no.
He had his own days, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But other than that, now he was okay.
It must have been very exciting, though, you know, kind of going in. Did you cycle to work in the morning?
I did. I was out from Castlekelly down to Orns and Talla.
Did you? And did you as well, Willie?
I biked it, motor biked it and carred it, whatever way, whenever the transport was available, I got there.
But in the 50s and 60s, was it just a huge... amount of people would arrive in the morning and their bikes.
Yes,
special racks for the
push bikes.
In those days, Talla was just fields.
Oh, that's right.
You were out the country.
Yeah, maybe. Completely different now. Completely different.
Yeah. And just all the people. I mean, at one stage there was up to 700 people. I think there being employed.
It was more times.
And so, were you just? Did you get involved in your own little circle, or did you kind of know everybody there?
I knew everybody, nearly everybody. We do, yeah. There's a few now from Bonabrina worked there as well, where I lived. A few worked there.
There's some groups.
Yeah, and those people that you know, say for example, came from Bonabrina, your area. And you were from Bordenabrina as well. So would you have kind of kept together?
We were always classified as a clannish crowd.
Clannish.
From the people from the hills to the people down in Talla.
always kept together, yeah.
But we weren't really. It was just a kind of the banter that used to go on between them. You know, the people up the hills had money. The people down in Talla were supposed to have none. But I think they were cruel enough. They didn't tell you.
but was there a class order inside there? Was there a class order?
A class order?
Yeah, kind of class distinction.
No, for doing things.
You know, if you're the person who was directly over you and the person who was directly over that person, you know, the.
No, you had one order. Supervisor.
You just had one.
And he gave all the directions, like what you do. Then he had he had a manager over him. But then sometimes people moved up the ladder and got the supervisory job, depending on how things went, like, you know, if you're good. Like in the latter ends, that's how it worked out. Because some of the supervisors there were getting long in the tooth, as you say, and somebody has to be given the job then. Maybe somebody was there a long time, get a job like a supervisor. You know.
And that's how you managed to climb up the ladder. The way that if you were there for a long time.
Yeah. Well, now, when I was there, like in the dispatch department, Christmas time, I was given a crew of men from down around the factory, from the milk plant, for to do the Christmas boxes. Now, you'd have about 20 different types of boxes or so for Christmas, which were ordered by customers. So I'd be in this, taken away from dispatch, up into another big store, and I'd have to work with the men, direct them what to do. When Christmas is over, you were into Easter, and you were on to the Easter eggs. See, they used to make their own Easter eggs in Ornish. And the orders came in for them. I was detailed to look after all them. Plus, I always had a manager who'd be around to see that everything was going right. Well, there was no problem anyway. Everything kept going and everything was delivered in time. Mm-hmm.
But when you were in there in dispatch, you were wrapping these up, weren't you? You were putting
parceling them up. Parceling yes, them together, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Was there a lot of attention paid to, you know, to presentation?
Well, you put the same size box into a parcel. Maybe the parcel about that size and about that height. Easy to carry for the van man.
All right, so you were packing the boxes, but the people in the factory who were actually maybe were the boxes designed in the factory?
Well, the boxes were made. It was a box factory there. Sam Hughes was the manager of that.
Right, and because they were beautiful boxes.
Oh, they made some lovely Christmas boxes.
Yeah,
some bevel boxes, and you know, and then they got in. The tin boxes from Irish Metal Box Company. And they sent them some beautiful boxes there. Like they were filled with sweets, different types of sweets. Mm.
But the older box, the cardboard box.
They were made. They were made in Ornish above in the box factory.
And who were the artists? Who were the... Because it was very artistic, wasn't it?
Well, I know the man that was over it, like, was Sam Hughes. Now, I'd say he was good at his job.
The man Redmond. Mm.
No, Redmond Gallagher, he was the managing director, like. But
but this Sam Hughes now, did he have mostly women working
All women except there used to be, they had their own guillotine there and there was to be a man there work on that. I think it was Bill Clark, or no. Somebody like that, not name, and a chap with the name of Aidan Farrell, died recently there, and he worked on the guillotine in the latter years.
And when you look at the old boxes and the way that, you know, that there's...
Beveled.
They're beveled at the top.
Yeah.
And the padding that went in underneath that too.
And all the what would you call, the moulds for the chocolates that goes into them. The women used to have to pack them as they went. Now, they used to pack them not on a band when I started. They had a shelf up over the table and they'd be picking them like this. They'd be going like devils, packing the boxes. And they're working on piecework. But when they came machinery end of it, they... had them on bands, and you'd be here. You must put in that type of sweet. Next one, put in that type of sweet. And the box was filled as it went along the band. Somebody put the lid on it and wrapped it up and put it into a heating machine to seal it.
Yeah.
You know, the cellophane on it.
Fantastic. Yeah. And
you know, it was great. Machinery work was great in it. You know. Then making the bags of sweets that you see them coming down the chute, go into the plastic, closes it, seals it, another one come, and going like same. The hammers and tongs there.
So you must have gone home, Lily, did you? Tired in the evening.
Oh,
you?
Yeah, oh, God, I tell you. Then cycle home. I used to go up to the waterworks of Bonavina. Mm. It's a shorter cut than going on the roads.
Yeah.
And you'd be knackered when you get home. Then you're up again at 7 o'clock next morning to be at 8.
Really? Mm. Yeah. And so the so it was all very hands on and physical work. It was
Just kept going.
Yeah. And did you get breaks during the day, you know, to
Lunch and then smoke breaks.
And you could go out for a smoke. That's if you smoke, like, you know. Yeah. Which a lot of them did do. Like, it maybe take longer than they should.
But smoking was very fashionable, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Not like now, you have to, if you're in, having a drink in a pub, you go outside and have a smoke, and you wouldn't be bothered going out.
Yeah.
Especially the weather, cold or that.
Yeah.
You'd rather stay in, that's it.
Oh, you couldn't smoke at the factory now.
No.
But every second, nearly every person smoked in...
Yes, I'd say so.
Yeah. And so kind of, there was a smoking room, was there? Or was there...
Yeah, a smoke room.
Toilet.
Or a toilet.
Yeah, that's probably where you smoked.
Yeah, it was a cloakroom as well, you could have a smoke in it.
Yeah, they used to be there. But then, from security reasons, they had to keep them out of the cloakroom.
Yeah.
You know, keep people stuff might get lifted or something like that, or for firewood.
And, you know, you've just a question about dishonesty. I mean, you know, were people... If you left something in the cloakroom, was it safe?
Well, very seldom now. Very, very seldom it had happened. No, you know, there were... nobody seemed to be... take anything like that. Not that I remember, anyhow.
Yeah.
You know, you could have had rogues all right, but... where is there not?
Yes. And so when you got married, were you... did you live here where we are
lived
now?
Lived up in Ballinabrina.
Oh, Ballinabrina at that time.
Yeah, I got a prefab built up there and lived there, but then moved down here.
And when you were living in Bordenabrina, that's when you had to give up work, is that right? That was the marriage law at the time.
Oh, no. I went back to work after I got married.
Oh, you got... Did you?
Mm.
Straight away? Oh,
yeah.
So
you never think of...
No, that's right. But
no, them days now you could go back to work when you get married.
Could you?
Oh, yeah.
So how many years were you working in there altogether?
25 years. Then I had my first child, so I gave it up then.
Oh, I see. It's when you started rearing a family. Yeah. And then you were in there, Willie, weren't you, from 1948, you said?
To 77 or so.
77, imagine.
And I got a job. I took voluntary redundancy then. And I got a job at the Dublin County Council.
And why did you decide to make that move?
I saw the writing on the wall. Because, I tell you, I've said it before, I've said it again. The manager, the personnel manager, at the time, I said I was taking the voluntary redundancy. There was a voluntary redundancy offer at that time. I said I was taking it. But I remember he called me into the office and he was telling me how sorry he was to see me go. So that's what you're getting paid for to say, says I. Because I guarantee you, says I, this place will close within a couple of years. Closed up in 1980.
What did you see was going to happen?
Well, dangerous to say it on radio. I didn't see, it's not that I'd seen much, but there was, there was people there and they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, working. But that's another day's work. Like, I wouldn't like to comment too much on it.
Oh, you mean the people not putting their own weight?
But what happened really was we were taken over by W.R. Grace and Orney's, American group.
What year was that?
Oh, God, I forget what year it would have been.
But it was before, a few years before you left.
Oh, it was a good few years because W.R. Grace took over, then Unilever took it over, then HB. Took over, Orney's took over HB in Rathfarnham. Mm-hmm. And they closed up, then they decided then to close up.
So, just explain this to me now. The first, say, management, the Gallaghers there never seemed to be a problem.
No.
Yeah. No. And it's only really when management changed.
Yeah, there was a few managers come in from we'd say W.R. Grace or Unilever's. And they were going, as he said, one fella, I remember him saying, he'd weed out all the rats. And he was the biggest rat himself. Believe it or not. You know, yeah. I mean, I could read a person very quick.
Yeah. So there was that dislike, or was there? Was there a kind of a...
Well, you see, then you got what they call... we had a union then at the time. And they went on strike, actually, in 1966 for more pay or something like that. And we were out for a good few weeks at that time.
Under which management?
Under... I think it was in the... Could be W.R. Grace Company now. I'm not quite sure now. Mm. You know. But I remember it was a very cold time. We were out on the roads. And some of the girls collapsed with the cold. You know, they were so cold.
Were you there? Were you on that strike?
No.
That was in 66. We got married 65.
Right. But could you tell me, when you were out there striking, it was all about money, was it?
It was at the time, yeah. There was something to do with money, as far as I know, anyhow, at the time.
And not work conditions or anything?
No, conditions were all right, like, you know. Yeah. No, they were okay. Well, I had no problem with the money, you know.
And did you feel that, you know, that you weren't getting paid enough for the work you were doing?
No, I was quite happy, like, you know, what I was doing. Sure, I could be in at 6 o'clock in the morning and till 8 o'clock at night, you know, it was very, very good, you know, especially at the busy time of Easter and Christmas, like, because you're getting, I had a deadline to work.
And you were getting all the overtime.
I was on, plus the lads, like, you know. But you did, they did work night shifts in Orleans there. And the making of sweets and the wrappers of sweets.
Yeah.
They worked in Orleans.
And you were talking to Lily about piece work, you know, the more work you did, the more you got paid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, peace time.
So did this not... was this not an incentive to work harder, you know, and make more money?
It would be, yes, but there's two sides of that. They were driving you or giving you like the carrot, but the carrot wasn't good enough. You know, what you were going to get wasn't what you would be expecting. You know, from the financial end of it.
Yeah.
You know. So.
But was it not a very good place to be in the 1960s? To be inside an Ernie's having
It was indeed, yes. I remember when I started in Ernie's first. I don't know how long it was. I was there. I was working dispatch. And I broke finger. Mm-hmm. Had to get it. In plaster. Now, the first week you work for nothing because they keep a back week all the time, you know, that way. And I got, they made a collection, Lord of Mercy, the man, Jack Bryan was his name. He was the shop steward. He made a collection of me. This was 1948 now, I'd say it was. And I got 28 shillings. Nearly as much as I was getting in wages.
My goodness, yeah.
You know, I was quite contented with it. But the following week, you mightn't have got as much because it's the week go by.
Yeah.
You know, but eventually you went back to work, like.
But while you were in there working away, you were also looking after your football club at home. You were you were involved in the theatre and... Yeah.
Well, that didn't come until the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
The drama group, you know. Yeah. But I was involved mostly in the football because I was involved with St. Anne's, delegates of the board, and he was chairman of the South County Board in Clondalkin at the time as well, when in the late 50s, early 60s.
Were you, indeed, yeah. And but that kind of work, must have taken up a lot of your time, and that was all voluntary.
Well, I had nothing else to do, like, I suppose, you know.
Yeah. But I was just thinking that you were, you know, you were working long hours too, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, even up to the present day, I'm up here at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm 12 years retired out of the council.
Yeah. Actually, we must come to that stage about the council. But I'm just thinking, did you ever get a chance to be with your family? I mean,
Oh, God, yes.
And how many do you have? How many did you... How many
we
children?
We have two daughters and three sons. Yeah. Teresa, William, John, Patrick and Bernadette.
And were any of your children involved with Ernie? Did they,
no.
Any of
no, no,
no. Ah, no, it was gone today.
It was gone at that stage.
Well, it wasn't gone, no.
Well, they,
Ernie's wasn't, they were only going to school like at the time, you know. Because I moved down here in 1982.
Yeah.